Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajoyaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The first scripture reading is John 20, 1 through 18. Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other clothes, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside near the tomb, crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put him." As soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." Then she told them what he said to her. The second scripture reading today is Acts 10, 34 through 43. Peter said, "I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him. This is the message of peace he sent to the Israelites by proclaiming the good news through Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism John preached. You know about Jesus of Nazareth, whom God anointed with the Holy Spirit and endowed with power. Jesus traveled around doing good and healing everyone oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and allowed him to be seen, not by everyone, but by us. We are witnesses who God chose beforehand, who ate and drank with him after God raised him from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name."
Most of my preacher friends would say that The hardest sermons to preach are on Christmas and on Easter. Because that's when you really have your broadest, most diverse audience or congregation. See, there are folks who are here today who engage in their faith practice every single Sunday. Great, welcome. There are folks who are here who come on Easter and on Christmas. Great, welcome. There are folks who are here today because some family member or friend made you come with them. Great, welcome. There are some folks who are here for a reason that might be unknown even to you. Perhaps that's that still small voice. Perhaps that's that little moment of inspiration. Great. Welcome. There are folks who are here because it's just what you do on Christmas and Easter. Great. Welcome. There are folks who are here for some other reason, maybe walking by or something else. Great. Welcome. And my preacher's friends will say that you got to figure out how to give a message that you just gave a year ago, again, afresh, anew, to a diverse audience. Great. Welcome. So I had to embody sort of the diversity a little bit. I'm wearing a stole today that was given to me by the Reverend Dr. Sharon Rhodes Wickett, who was my pastor when I was 7 years old. Not just that year, she was there for a few years. I'm also wearing my rainbow chucks that say on them, "My religion is love," in a hope that I might speak to a broader audience. Although those of you who see me on a weekly basis now know that I wear chucks every week, just not always rainbow chucks. I believe that if we hear the texts that Don read, part of why the message speaks so well every single year, even to diverse audiences, is because there is such richness in so many layers that there's something we can connect with. That there's some person or character in the story that might speak to us or might remind us of someone, or if we're particularly vulnerable, might remind us of ourselves. Particularly this story about the resurrection of Mary and Peter and John finding out that Jesus is resurrected. There's such richness, and it's my hope that you might connect with one of those people, maybe even in an unexpected way. Because, my friends, particularly on Easter, particularly when we talk about resurrection, we might be reminded that Jesus comes to us in unexpected ways. Of course, this is the same story that preachers preach every single year, and so maybe it's the same story that you've heard every single year. You know how there's someone, depending on which gospel you read, it's Mary or several women, it's always women, go to the tomb. And we understand the practical side of it, right? They're going to the tomb because they need to anoint Jesus' body. There wasn't time after the crucifixion. It was sort of a rush to get Jesus down off the cross and quick into a tomb because the Sabbath day is starting and you're not allowed to do any work on the Sabbath. And so we understand that practical side, but I've been thinking about the emotional side. As we read from the Gospel of John, it's just Mary Magdalene who goes. And I've been thinking about what she must have been feeling in her heart. Yes, maybe that purpose is to go and to anoint Jesus' body, but I wonder if what was in her heart was that she was searching for something. Having seen him on the cross, after seeing him pulled down,
knowing that his body was lifeless. Not understanding how that could possibly be. And so maybe just looking for something. Maybe even looking for just that smallest bit of closure to see his body one more time. Maybe she went not even knowing what she was looking for, knowing that she had to do this thing, this practical, this physical thing, knowing that she needed something and not even knowing what it was. And I wonder how many of us have ever been searching for something and not really known what it was. Maybe just a glimmer of something we might recognize. Maybe looking for closure. Maybe just some chance. Some chance at what has been familiar and that we loved so much and that now is gone. Think about Mary's emotion as she approached the tomb. And I wonder how many of us, when we've gone looking for whatever that thing is, whether we know what we're looking for or not, whether we're searching for closure or searching for a reminder of what has been, whether we're looking for love or peace or hope, I wonder how many of us, when we've been looking for that thing, have found ourselves profoundly surprised. Maybe not finding what we're looking for, but whatever it is that we find is something so unexpected that we don't know what to do with it. And I wonder if that was Mary's emotional state. I wonder if we've ever been in that place where we've been so incredibly surprised that the only thing we can do is run away. And maybe if we have the temerity to ask for help. I wonder if we've been like those disciples, Peter and John, who have this story that they can't quite believe, and so they have to go, they have to see with their own eyes, but then get caught up in the foot race. I got to get there. I got to be first. I got to be the one. I wonder if we've ever been in that place of such deep surprise that it terrified us. You know, I know we're reading from the Gospel of John today. The Gospel of Mark describes those who first get to the tomb as filled with terror and amazement. I wonder if you've ever been so surprised to just, like, it scared your shoes off. I wonder if you've ever been so blinded by the darkness that feels like it surrounds us from time to time that we don't even recognize what's right in front of us. As Mary, who returns to the tomb, and she sees Jesus right in front of her, and she's so blinded by grief, she doesn't even recognize him. That's the way I read it. Maybe you read it different. But that's a way that I can connect with it, because I've been so blinded by grief that I didn't even see what was right in front of me. And maybe in those times, you've been surprised, not by the big and blinding flashy surprise, but by the close and quiet and intimate surprise. The surprise that says your name. Mary. Can you imagine being surprised in that personal way, in that intimate way, in that close way? In that way that knows your nickname and not your legal name? and the way that sees you and recognizes you. In the ways that maybe you feel broken or separate or apart or devalued or dehumanized. In the way that sees you as who you are and for who you are and recognizes you and loves you and calls you by name, Mary. See, there are such layers to this story that I think we can connect. And I think it can change us. In fact, I think it has to change us. And I think that we have to have some effort into it. Pastor Leah often reminds us that, listen, if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be a person of faith, like, then live in the world in such a way that that actually matters to you. Live in the world in such a way that that actually makes a difference to you. Live in the world in such a way that you don't always do the things that you've always done because you're doing a new thing in participation with what God, the creator of the universe, calls you to do. The second text we read, that Don read, is out of Acts 10. You may not know this about me, but this is my very favorite story in all of the Bible. It's a story that is so important, at least as I understand the way Acts is written, right? Acts is probably written by the same author as the Gospel of Luke, right? The same story is in Acts 10 and Acts 11. And what I read into that is the author found this story so important that it had to be written twice. See, it's a story where Peter has an extraordinary vision. And then an outsider, a Roman, one of the people responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus, a Gentile, an outsider, sends for Peter and expects Peter to come to his house. Now, for so many reasons, Peter shouldn't even be there. Peter, as a good and faithful Jew, shouldn't even be inside a Gentile home. And Peter goes. That's Acts 10, and we'll talk a little bit more about it in a minute, but I just want to give you that sort of sense of closure about why is it repeated. In Acts 11, it's repeated because the religious leaders find out that Peter went into a Gentile home, and they get upset with him, and he tells the whole story again, and they understand. But one of the things that stands out to me is that Jesus makes such a significant impact on Peter's life that Peter understands that he has to do something different. He has to change. He lives out that change, even though it's challenging. Everything that Peter knows is that if you're going to be a religious person, you have to act this way. You have to live in this box. But Jesus matters, and Peter's paying attention. And Peter remembers perhaps what was proclaimed by John the Baptist at the beginning, that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Now, if you're someone who comes to church every Sunday, it's my hope that your life is already being lived in a different way because of your faith, because of the way that God's Spirit moves in a sense of community. And the way that connection informs you and inspires you to live in the world. If you're someone who shows up to church on Christmas and Easter, it's my hope that those experiences coming to church on Christmas and Easter inspire you to live in the world in a particular way. And also, I would ask you, if that inspires you, perhaps you might take a bold step, a risky step, to engage a bit further. Maybe come and learn about the Lord's Prayer over the next 5 or 6 weeks. If you're someone who's here because somebody made you come with them, it's my hope that there's inspiring music or a message for children about plants and seeds, a scripture, a phrase from a prayer. Yes, maybe even something from a message that inspires you to live in a different way. If you're someone who's here and you're not even sure why. It's my hope that you might experience that still small spark of hope, of peace, that sense that you are loved. If you are someone who is here for any of the reasons that you might be here, it is my hope that in some way today you hear yourself spoken to in a way that may feel risky, in a way that may even fill you with terror and amazement, calling you by name. And it is my deep and profound hope that it changes you and inspires you and moves you and gives you life.